This is 5 o'clock shadow on the Pacifica Radio Network, originating at WBAI 99.5 FM. I'm Robert Knight in New York. And today, more on the continuing occupation at Wall Street. Today, we'll be hearing from Michael Moore and Victoria Sobel. All of that, plus a roundup of world news events from INN, the International News Net. This is 5 o'clock shadow.
Protesters occupying New York's financial district continued to receive endorsements Tuesday as hip-hop artist Immortal Technique stopped by the Occupy Wall Street protest, urging those who want change to come down here. Filmmaker Michael Moore said, "These people on Wall Street ripped off the future of many of these young people, and they're not yet born children," adding, "The protest has to start somewhere, and it might as well start here."
Coming up, we're going to revisit the occupation of Wall Street. Speaking of wealth, this is 5 o'clock shadow, the edge of the East River on Wall Street. Further up the hill at the intersection of Broadway and Liberty, the Liberty camp continues its occupation and protests against the operations of Wall Street, economic and social injustice. This is from yesterday evening. We of the Shadow were there, and people from WBAI were there, when in the characteristic way of crowdsourcing the amplification of a speech, there was a guest who spoke, and those nearby repeated the word so those further away could hear it. That is the reason for this particular ritual, in which we last night had our encounter with Michael Moore.
Michael Moore, Robert Knight, WBAI Pacifica Radio. Is this an evolution in protest?
Absolutely. This is the spark that's really going to kick this thing off.
Why? What's new?
What's new? People have had it. And finally, some people decided to put themselves on the line and come down here. And somebody had to get it going. And this is the crowd that got it going. And you're going to see it spread across the country.
What are you doing in relation to this?
Well, I've been supporting it from the beginning. And I just got back to New York today, and so I made my way down here. I've been talking about it on as many mainstream news media shows will let me come on and talk about it. And this is the main topic that we're going to talk about. So,
thank you, Michael Moore, thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael.
Michael Moore, overnight at the Liberty Camp, the Wall Street occupation. Also taking part in that is Victoria Sobel. Welcome to 5 o'clock shadow, Victoria.
Yes, hi, how are you guys?
Okay, what is the latest and what have you been doing with the occupation?
Well, I've had the occupation since the beginning. That is the 17th. I heard about it late July via the call put out on Adbusters, but I think, like a lot of people that I know, I was perhaps a bit skeptic of the call for 20,000 to come occupy this space. What I saw on the 17th was something really quite remarkable and perhaps much more modest. It was a much smaller group, about 1,500 to 2,500, assembling in a GA and using the people's mic, the people's microphone, which was the technique that you had pointed out where people speak syllabically and then it's repeated back to them. I feel like really had, there's a switch that turned in my head that day, and I haven't left since. I was arrested on Saturday with a large group of people protesting. I was participating in the live streaming of the march when I was captured in that mass arrest.
I've been following your work. I'd like for you to describe and put on the record for us here on the radio what you experienced, what was done to you, what did you see done to other marchers?
Right, and there was a wide variety of tactics used that day, and amongst them were, as many know, the macing of a number of girls. They were actually right nearby me, and many of them are people who stay at the campsite, and it was actually very unprovoked. They were completely peacefully protesting. The tactic used is called kettling, and that is to say when the police kind of corner you into a space and then run along the side of you with an orange mesh. It is a police fence that you cannot cross. Once we were secured in that space, we were all informed that we would be arrested, which we were. That was about 70 to 80 of us.
Victoria Sobel, I'd like to put this in a historical context. I mean, there have been many movements of protest, and let me just narrow that down to some of the more recently significant ones, the early 1960s, the civil rights movement, where, in a way similar to what happened to you and others, confrontation with protectors of the establishment, police and such, violently react to protesters who are approaching peacefully. The civil rights movement, early 60s. Let's take the anti-war movement of the late 60s and early 70s. Once again, mass gatherings and provocative reactions from law enforcement. Here now, today, Occupy Wall Street. How would you place the Occupy Wall Street form of protest in that historical context?
And certainly, I think that those are all of these instances that you're talking about historically and what we're doing here today. They're all certainly in dialogue, and it's actually very interesting to think about how they relate to each other, because the groups of people are certainly very different and our messages are different, but there's something about that kind of infallible human spirit and trying to say something, trying to get a message across in mass that has been a pervasive way of showing political and social protest. So there are a lot of overlaps that are definitely existing in those spheres, I suppose. I mean, in some instances, there are a lot of older radicals that come out to show their support. They don't guide us. In fact, they've made it very clear that they want us to figure out how to do these things on our own. And for me, at least, it's certainly been a very, very much of a learning experience. And I'm sure that everyone here will agree with that. There are certain instances where I wish that maybe they had helped us out and said, this is how you set this up. But you know, everything has come to us in its due time, and we're really learning, and we're setting forth a kind of guideline for other occupations to exist, and certainly we were not the first either, so it's really this trajectory that's ongoing. We're just a part of that.
Victoria Sobel is with Cooper Union, and also, as you heard, one of the messengers of these events in a live streaming way. And we thank her and all of the other folks who have helped bring light to these issues. This is 5 o'clock Shadow on the Pacifica Radio Network. WBAI broadcasts at 99.5 megahertz FM and streams at WBAI.org. We'll be right back. And as protests go from Wall Street to other cities across the country, the issue of organizing mass protests in an egalitarian way has come up among many different organizers. We're now joined by Randy Credico, the political comedian and former director of the William Moses Kunstler Fund for Racial Justice. Randy, I'd like to talk about organizing, but first, I understand you've been spending a lot of time at Liberty Park.
Yeah, Robert, I've been there. First of all, let me say thank you for having me on the show. It's a real pleasure to be here. I've been there 3 days in a row. I went there Sunday with Sarah Kunstler and a couple of other people, and I went Monday, and I went yesterday. There's something about it, because I was out of town. Missed the first 5 or 6 days, otherwise I'd be there 8 days straight. I'm going to go back there today. Something about it that is very, very attractive, something that's very, magical about this particular process, what I've never seen before in any kind of protest movement, at least in this country, you know, and I am really inspired by it. Now, I am not really part of it. I'm just there as a body kind of observing it. I'm like totally bewildered, beguiled by the power of this movement that they have going down there, these younger kids. It's unlike anything that I've ever been involved in.
What kind of variety of people do you see? Is it of one class, one age, one group of people, or is it becoming more diverse by the moment?
Well, you know, I would say yesterday there are some people that I've seen at the first time that this has happened, where I have seen at the usual suspects. And other just kind of bodies that have shown up there. I don't know what they're doing. They're just there. But the preponderance are what I call maybe the iPad generation. You know, it's like 25-year-olds, 23-year-olds, 27-year-olds, 19-year-olds. And it's, you know, predominantly, you know, white middle class. But there are African-Americans there. This one woman is the most articulate one of the most inspiring of all the ones I've heard. Is a young black woman. So, you know, it's a mixed bag down there. There's some Native Americans, but they're all pretty much the common denominator. They're young, and they are unlike. Like I said, I don't know how to describe it. It's they do such a wonderful job in keeping this thing going, and their spirits. They're not negative. They're positive. I mean, I don't know what the mission statement ultimately is here, but there's something there, Robert. I mean, it's certainly not the Paris Commune or the Italian Republic attempt of 1848 or Ludlow or any of these places, Chicago 68. It's something that's totally different, but it's effective. This is very effective, what they're doing. And what they're doing is inspiring me and looking at the techniques that they're using, which are very, very organic, the techniques that they're using. These are not contrived techniques. I'm sitting there watching because I don't want, and you know that I've been involved in a lot of movements where I was dissatisfied with the way people would drop in, parachute, try to hijack a lot of divisions. You see that in all the movements today. Anti-war movement, anti-war and drug movement, labor movement. You know, there's always like these divisions. You know, somebody's got to be in charge. There's nobody in charge there. There's nobody in charge. You can't find anyone in charge. And because of that, I want to watch and observe and not mess up what's going on. Almost like I'm looking at it from a mountain, even though I'm there watching it on the ground up front and center.
One of the things that has struck me about the way things are organized at Occupy Wall Street and in other cities is the horizontal, the peer-to-peer kind of respectful communication that is an analog of the way the internet and live streaming that is being done takes place. But what do you think of this as a new social protocol in addition to a political organizing movement?
Well, I think it's, there's something there. People should come down there and watch it. Certainly, you know, celebrities have come down there to watch it. You know, celebrities in the movement, the celebrities and documentaries, journalists or whatever. Yesterday, Cornel West was there. These kids are not starstruck by that. They're not starstruck. You know what I mean? They've got, there's something there. And because they're the stars now, they're the stars without wanting to be stars, not looking to be stars. They've just, they've got teamwork there. It's like a beehive, you know? There's an order there. It is horizontal, like you said. It's, there's nothing coming from the top. They keep it that way. I don't know how much longer that can last, but certainly it is something that we should all come down and observe and possibly imitate. You know, myself, look, I'm one of those guys that when I was running the concert fund, there were times when I became like heavy-handed in the way I was running things. You know, I didn't want other people coming in, messing up the apple cart. I had a mission that I wanted, you know, in my head to achieve. And sometimes I wouldn't take advice from other people. Here, everyone is listening to each other. And it's the discipline. I mean, this is not something that can be learned. It's something that's innate. You know, this discipline, hopefully it can be learned. And they've got it. These kids have all got this incredible discipline. They're going to be there. They're moving forward. Where it came from, I don't know, Robert.
There's discipline and there's also hope. And by hope, I do not mean a presidential campaign slogan. Randy, I recall when you were in the early days of the Kunstler Fund, standing lonely in bus stations where families would go to visit their relatives in prison far away in upstate New York. And the numbers, the interactions were low. And yet, the fund, yourself, and the people involved built a very vital movement that was effective in changing the Rockefeller drug laws. You created or allied with other institutions across the country. What do you think is the common point of this movement, where in the early days there was frustration, there was a mainstream blackout? Here at WBAI and Pacifica, we've been following it throughout. But do you see a problem of frustration, or do you think that there's enough hope and power that this will become even bigger?
You know, everything I've been involved with, it's like being, you know, especially the Rockefeller laws was, you know, like being Sisyphus. You get up something, you go down, get up, come down. I think these kids have, like I said, the discipline, they have the energy, and they have a commitment. And I think it will spread. I believe, obviously there are going to be agent provocateurs. There's going to be fifth columnists that would like to see this thing come to an end. There are going to be other organizations that could be jealous. I mean, nobody's making any money here. There's no director there. You know what I mean? With the Kunstler Fund, you're right. Yeah, and you were part of it from the very beginning too, Robert, you know, as a journalist. You were covering it back in 97 when it first began. It was a very lonely, but we did have hope because the stakes were high and you had to be patient, organize, and move forward. And the fact that we believe that we had something there that merited concern and merited attention and press and redress, we kept organizing and we kept going forward. Did we know what was ultimately going to happen? No. And of course, that movement, people did jump in on it. We didn't get what we wanted. It basically hung. We could have gone down and scored a touchdown, but we settled for a long field goal. And I'm not sure that it's ever going to get as close as where we had it before. And I think that's a lesson that can be learned by other organizations. You got to keep moving and other protest movements. Maybe what they're doing right now is something. They're not going to settle for something small. I think they're going to keep going on. And the inspiration, the stakes are big. Everything in the country and internationally goes to Wall Street. This is where it is. The prison industrial complex. You know, you've got Correctional Corporation, Wall Street firm that sells their stock. You have Halliburton, you know, capitalizing off the wars. You have environmental stuff. You have BP. All these companies go to Wall Street. Wall Street's where the action is. You know what I mean? Why go to where the politicians are? Why go to deal with Obama or deal with Andrew Cuomo or deal with anybody in office? This is where their masters are, right here. You go right to the source of the power in the country, which is what these kids have figured out.
Randy Credico, former director of the William Moses Kunstler Fund for Racial Justice, and a very busy political comedian and a daily visitor to the Occupy Wall Street site. Randy, we'll be seeing you there, and thank you for joining us today.
On my way. Okay, Robert. Hey, Robert, can I tell you, it's a pleasure to be on your show. This is the jewel of what is becoming a rejuvenated WBAI, your show, 5 O'Clock Shadow. I'm really, really proud to be on it. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be here when it happened. This is 5 O'Clock Shadow on WBAI 99.5 FM, Pacifica Radio Network. And there are protests similar to the Occupy Wall Street movement taking place across the country, as quiet as they may be kept. There are similar organizations of people taking part in protests for change in Los Angeles and in Chicago, as well as in Denver, Atlanta, San Diego, San Jose, and other cities popping in by the day. In today's program, we're going to take a nationalized look at protests in addition to the Occupy Wall Street, and we'll be taking a close look at the events occurring in Chicago and Los Angeles. And we begin here in New York, where overnight the Occupy Wall Street people at Liberty Park were addressed by the historian and scholar Cornel West, who said that they had the power to make the establishment quake in their boots. And in a sly cultural reference, Cornel West says that the diversity and numbers of people who are gathering are analogous to a popular music anthem, Everyday People. This is Cornel West at Occupy Wall Street overnight.
We would like to.
We would like to.
Start.
Start.
With some words.
With some words.
From Cornel West.
From Cornel West.
Junior will smile.
step by step.
Today we move step by step.
From what he called a revolution.
From what he called a revolution.
Don't be afraid to say revolution.
Don't be afraid to say revolution.
We want a transfer of power.
We want a transfer of power.
From the oligarchs.
From the oligarchs.
Ordinary citizens.
To ordinary citizens.
With the poor children of all colors.
With the poor children of all colors.
And the orphans and the widows.
And the orphans and the widows.
And the elderly.
And the elderly.
And the working folk.
And the working folk.
If we connect the prison industrial complex.
If we connect the prison industrial complex.
With the military industrial complex.
With the military industrial complex.
With the Wall Street oligarchy complex.
With the Wall Street oligarchy complex.
And the corporate media multiplex.
And the corporate media multiplex.
I want to thank you. It's a blessing to be a small part of this magnificent gathering.
I want to thank you. It's a blessing to be a small part of this magnificent gathering.
This is the General Assembly consecrated by your witness and your body and your mind.
Right, and I can be wrong. My own belief. to really encourage outreach to other activist groups, because whatever their single issue is, I think it meshes well with the 99% and the fact that the common enemy is a corporation somewhere. So I think as far as specific messaging, you guys can do whatever you want. That's the beauty of this. You can say whatever you want, but we need to make sure that we are inclusive. I mean, it's the 99%, and that's who we need to build and talk with. Let's have a really fun time. If anyone wants to address anything, now would be the time.
Yeah, real quick, I just want to just let everybody know, I've been having really good results with talking to people about money and the money issues. Like, be direct about it. Let them know that corporations aren't paying taxes. Let them know that that these investment bankers aren't paying taxes, because people really connect on that. You know, religion doesn't matter, race doesn't matter, where you're from doesn't matter. Everyone is hurting right now in the pocket. Get to them that way, because once we all assemble, then we can start talking about what we do want. You know, right now we all have one common ground that we don't want. Let's start getting everyone together so we can start figuring out the end. So.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's about
the 99%! We are the 99%! You are the 99%!
We're here to get everything under control, to stop corporate money and the influence over our jobs, over our food, over our education, over just like life itself, most importantly over any idea of like lasting security. We're here like, protesting our corrupt democratic process, and how corporate America has money over our politicians, and we have no real voice. That's why we're here. That's what we're unifying over. We're the 99%.
So we're here today to represent the 99% of people who are not receiving any attention or care from our government. And we're here basically because I'm here personally because I don't believe in the status quo. I think we can do a lot better. And I know for a fact that that we are the majority of people that want to love and care for one another and find a way forward that is the most sustainable and healthy and best for all people involved and for many generations to come. And the only way to do that is if we have dramatic, radical change. And this is just another call to action. There's so many different things happening right now in the world, and the things that are happening right now with our banking and financial institution are a very good call for many people, because it is so blatantly obvious that the amount of corruption and stealing from the world of America that's happening right now, with our taxpayer dollars going straight into the pockets of corporations and with our politicians bought and sold by corporations. There's no, our entire situation has been established not upon what is best and what will sustain in the long run, but it has been decided upon what is profiting, what will profit from the people at the top. So we're sick and tired of it. I dedicate my life to changing the planet and including this.
For the future!
We're fighting for you!
For you guys!
Yes, you!
So I think the problem basically that America is having is that corporations have worked their way into government, and they've done so in a way that they can influence our politicians. And when they influence our politicians, they're influencing policy. And that unfortunately is affecting the poor, the lower, and the middle classes in America. It's breaking America apart. It's breaking up families, which is the most important thing to consider. It's pretty awful. It's terrible. So that's why we've made these signs. People before profits. And don't be afraid to speak out. Join in. The most important thing is that you practice your democracy. Practice your civics. Come out. Join everybody. Make it happen. We can change how our government functions. It's possible to do.
Demonstrating against Wall Street greed, buddy. Plain and simple.
What do we do?
Stand up like that!
Education is under attack. What do we do?
Stand up like that!
Working people are under attack. What do we do?
Stand up like that!
Working people are under attack. What do we do?
Stand up like that!
We have a blackout right now. CNN, Fox News, they're not covering this. About 1,000+ people camped out in Union Square and Wall Street right now. They've been camped out there for about 10 days. They're trying to fight corporate greed. They're trying to fight the corruption that's going on in our government. And they're trying to get us behind them. We the people need to speak out for the first time in decades, if not centuries.
Right now, what we're doing is we're creating a branch. Every city, the cities across the nation, there's about 30 cities in the U.S. and about 5 cities out of the U.S. that are doing occupancies as well. We're looking to occupy City Hall on October 1st. We're going to camp out there. We're going to make base. We're going to let them know we're not going to move until we get what we want and we're treated like human beings.
I want to say, I watched the videos of what happened on Wall Street yesterday, and I want to say that to all the people who've been watching the protests in the Middle East and think and are, oh, I'm so glad that I don't live in a country where the police do that to protesters. You do live in that country. You're living in that country right now, and it's happening right now. I think it's ridiculous that there's been hardly any coverage at all. I mean, if you can imagine having a Tea Party protest at Wall Street, it would be all over the news, and I think it's just absolutely ridiculous that you have something like this going on in the middle of New York. And there's no coverage at all. And I just think it's a disgrace.
Money for jobs and education!
Money for jobs and education!
Not for banks and corporations!
Not for banks and corporations!
Money for jobs and education!
Money for jobs and education!
Not for racist deportation!
In New York and in Wall Street, there's about 1,000 people that are occupying Wall Street.
That's enough, guys. Single file. We got to stay to the right.
The oligarchy works change.
So
we're joining them in solidarity. We're going to occupy City Hall coming this Saturday.
Occupy Wall Street!
Occupy Los Angeles!
Occupy Wall Street!
Occupy Los Angeles!
Cops need raises! Cops need raises!
99%!
We are the 99%!
Cops are the 99%!
Cops are the 99%!
Cops need
raises!
Cops need raises!
Cops need raises!
Cops need raises!
Cops need raises!
So I like to say that we need to seriously be about building movements that can engage in direct action. We need to begin to move with other people to change policy.
People, I think I'm beginning to understand it.
Join us!
Occupy Wall Street!
Occupy Los Angeles!
We are the
99%!
We are the
99%!
We are the 99%!
We are the 99%!
We
are the
99%!
We
are the
99%!
We are the
99%!
We are the
99%!
We
Alright, so my name is Kevin Baker. I'm an Iraq war vet. I was in Iraq in 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008. I just left the military in December, and I came out here on behalf of March Forward. And, you know, and the soldiers that are still on active duty that believe the promise when Obama said that he would withdraw, you know, our brothers and sisters out of Iraq, which he hasn't done. And to highlight the fact that he surged Afghanistan, he sent 30,000, you know, more soldiers into a region that we can't explain why we're there. More soldiers have died under Obama than in Afghanistan than under Bush's entire time in presidency. You know, so we're here to demand that an immediate withdrawal of soldiers from Iraq that are in Iraq and Afghanistan, and demand reparations paid, you know, to the families of the Iraqis and Afghans who are the real victims of the wars that began with Bush and are continuing with Obama, and to point out that Obama is as bad as Bush, and he's just as guilty as war crimes, and he sucks up to Wall Street just like every other president before him, and to demand that workers get together and organize and stand in solidarity in opposition to the small parasitic minority that dictate what we do with our lives, instead of them throwing $700 million that we make a day into homes, destroying them in Iraq and Afghanistan. This money is used to rebuild our communities, you know, fund our education and healthcare.
Exxon Chevron Mobil Shell!
Exxon Chevron Mobil Shell!
Take your war and go to hell!
Take your war and go to hell!
Exxon Chevron Mobil Shell!
Exxon Chevron Mobil Shell!
Think globally, act locally, and creating new councils for ourselves that allow us to redefine what it is to be a collective.
We are the 99%!
We are the 99%!
Okay, yeah, we are here in the names of justice.
to send a reminder to President Obama that it should be a lot. It's a lot of issues need to be taken care of, and we're waiting for it. We have faith that he put his Nobel Peace Prize to work in the name for the people and for all humans out here. Stop the war. Stop the violence. Let's take care of people. Thank you so much.
Stop the war.
Stop the war! All right, sisters and brothers, and we'll keep on that theme. We know the corporations are getting really fat while everybody else is
I think the big thing is, I think what's going on in Occupy Wall Street is an amazing thing, and I think that, you know, we should keep pushing and pushing and pushing, because every time we have a demonstration, every time we have a protest, the workers in the country become more politically conscious of what's going on, and every time that we do this, we're hitting it over and over and over. We have to keep hitting it until it falls, until we can create a government for the people, by the people.
We know!
And end the occupation!
War president. When we were out in March protesting against the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, he started bombing Libya. So that was, to me, that was kind of the breaking point for my support of the Obama administration, because it was a direct 180 from the president that I had voted for. And I was already involved in the anti-war movement and the justice and equality movement. I've always been a member of the lower class and the working class. My dad's in the union. My dad used to talk to me about walking the picket lines and kind of violent even, you know, the labor movement and what it cost and what it's gotten us. So I've always believed in, you know, standing up for what's right. So that's why I'm here. And I'm here because of, you know, solidarity together makes me feel better about what we struggle for. Because we're in the struggle. You know, we're doing something about it and it makes you feel better. And, you know, feel sorry for them because they're not.
That was the sound of protest from the Occupy LA movement in Los Angeles. This is 5 o'clock shadow on the Pacifica Radio Network, originating at WBAI 99.5 FM. I'm Robert Knight in New York. Similar protests are gathering in various cities, including Denver, Colorado, Atlanta, Georgia, San Diego, and San Jose, California, as well as other places that are growing by the moment. We now turn to the protest in Chicago, which was recently visited by Jesse Jackson, and where protesters have so far staved off an attempt by the Federal Reserve Bank to evict them from their protest.
Well, we're here. It is September 27th, day 11 of Occupy the Federal Reserve Bank in Chicago. Do you guys need any supplies? I brought a pillow.
That's awesome. We're not allowed to sleep here, but here's my pillows anyway.
You could just stay up all night? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Alright. You know what? I'm not going to tell you again. I didn't know people were staying overnight. That's pretty cool.
I've been camped here since Friday.
Awesome.
And we're not allowed to sleep here anymore, but we're going to be just...
awake?
Yeah.
That's the way to go. I guess I brought a pillow for no reason. I brought a blanket too. But I don't know. I'm from the suburbs, Palatine.
Yeah, sure.
So I got. We just drove out here spontaneously. No, him.
I'll stand directly.
Can I
actually
step down some?
Do the other way.
Here.
So yeah, we're just down here.
It's been like really melodramatic actually for the last few hours because the cops were, first they see these barricades over here.
Yeah.
That's where we were sleeping before. and then they barricaded it off this afternoon. Then basically, yeah, took our sleeping spot away, and so if we sleep anywhere in this passage here, we're obstructing the public way.
Oh.
So, you know, they're being kind of shiesty, yeah. So but, yeah, no, last, like, the cops were kind of pushing us around a few hours ago, but we came to the resolution that we're going to be here in shifts. Some of us are going to be here all night.
I was watching the live feed from New York, and there are people there calling the police stations here.
Really?
About, I guess, something that happened earlier. Somebody's being pushed around or moving you guys around.
And
there's,
yeah,
there's, so people are calling from there to here, questioning, why are you guys moving them around? And so it's happening. It's happening.
Yeah, it's beautiful, man.
It's Monday officially, I suppose. So I've been here since Saturday night at about 8. Walked around for 2 hours trying to find this place. Finally found it. Didn't plan on staying because, you know, I'm an indecisive type of guy. But definitely, I've been keeping up with Occupy Wall Street.
Right.
Because, you know, I always keep up with current events, you know, social movements, especially in Greece, Europe, France. So when I heard that...
They're calling Chicago police stations here because they heard that you guys are getting shifted around. So there's people on the phone there calling here.
Oh, like harassing them.
Yeah.
So, and let me tell you, like, when I heard that Wall Street was being occupied, you know, a few of my friends said, are we going to plan something? And so I said, we should. And then a few minutes later, literally Saturday at noon, I found out that Chicago is being occupied. And so I told my friend we were planning on hitchhiking to New York, you know, and we found out Chicago is being occupied, and then we took the, you know, the next train right here, you know, because it's imperative. I've been, you know.
Hey, where are you from?
I'm from the northwest suburbs, and
me close, too.
Closer to Algonquin and Elgin.
Oh, you're right by me. You're
go,
right by Harry.
I go to school in Barrington. I actually live in Carpenter's.
You're 5 minutes from me.
I live in Carpenter's, actually.
You're about 15 minutes from me.
Yeah, awesome.
Like, last year, I helped lead a walkout of my school of about 100 to 200 students. And you know, I have work, I have school, but I'm going to stay here for at least a week, I believe, because this is really important, you know, honestly.
And they're not letting you guys sleep here?
Unfortunately not, but I do plan on hiding under a tarp and sleeping. So thank you for this. But no, they aren't, even though they lost for the first...
That needs to change. That's cruel.
Especially with more people, it has to change.
Right.
And you missed it. We were deliberating for... There was a lot of inner... discussion, but, you know, really upbeat type of discussion. I don't know how to put it. Over there we had a general assembly, and we were debilitating over, do we all get arrested? Do we let a few individuals become martyrs? Do we all go home and recuperate or whatever? And so we decided, we decided to prolong it as long as possible, you know, because this is all we want is to prolong it as long as possible. The thing is, how do we do it? Because
right.
in getting arrested, you know, that is good and bad for different reasons. We decided that with the numbers that we have, we would rather get arrested with 500 people than with 30. Come here. So you see where these barricades are right now? It used to be just yesterday, for 3 or 4 days, they actually let us sleep on that side. The barricades. As long as we didn't lean anything over to the building, which they consider private property. Now they have moved us. They said it was okay for us to sleep on this side just earlier today. They have a problem with us blocking the sidewalk and, you know, traffic or something. However, it is they who, in fact, are causing the disruption with the barricade, because there is enough room for us to sleep and have our own occupation.
Right.
However, they have erected this barricade under the guise that it is private property.
And what day did that happen? Private property?
Today.
Because it's a private bank.
Today, maybe 6 or 7 hours ago. It just happened because they saw that our numbers are increasing.
It's a private bank.
It's absolutely terrible. Well, that's it. Started with one person. She waited a while to see if anybody was organizing Occupy Chicago. She waited, I believe, 3 or 7 days, something like that. And then she made a Facebook, she made a Twitter. She got 3 friends, so there were 4 people camping out. Next day there was 10. And, you know, through using, social networks, Facebook and Twitter, the number has grown exponentially. On the third day there was 40 people outside in the daytime. Yesterday was the fourth day. There was 50 people with us. Even I would estimate 60 at most in the daytime. That was only the fourth day. We are now on our fifth day. We have, how many people would you estimate out here right now? 20, 25?
30.
No, more. I'd say around 40. There's groups of five everywhere.
You think so?
We have a 35, 40.
Our numbers have grown exponentially, you know.
30, 35.
And the thing is, again, this is this was only Monday where we had 50 people. And then when the weekend comes, that's where it will really grow. That's why they have set up the barricades now. That's why they have antagonized us right now, you know, because they want to get rid of us. But they will not get rid of us. They won't get rid of us until we're dead.
Parking's only going to last so long.
Yes, yes. We plan on having a lot of people so that they cannot move. We will have to sleep here. The entire point is to occupy the streets, you know? I mean, homeless people are out to sleep because they're homeless, and we are here making a statement that we will not move because this is our Tahrir Square. Two or three lawyers that have come out and helped us on several occasions, you know, with interaction with police and conflicts with police and things like that. The National Lawyers Guild has been extremely, extremely helpful. We have two lawyers on call. They have come out. Two lawyers came out earlier today to help us with some conflicts we have with police. They talked to the chief of, they talked to a sergeant. We definitely have communication with lawyers.
Do we know the legal ramifications of putting a generator right on the sidewalk?
I would estimate none.
All right. But no confirmation on anybody?
No.
Like with credentials?
All right, so if anyone wants to donate, come down to the Federal Reserve Bank on LaSalle and Jackson, in Chicago.
And that concludes today's edition of A National Look at the Occupation Movement Across the United States. We give thanks today to the Black Star Order for reporting from Los Angeles and Ian Frankovich in Chicago. We also thank Michael G. Haskins for engineering, in addition to our Public Affairs Director Kathy Davis, Program Director Tony Bates, and Station Manager Berthold Reimers. If you have tips, comments, suggestions, or questions for The Shadow, give us an email at TheShadow, TheShadow, at WBAI.org, or drop us a note at 120 Wall Street, New York, 10005. For 5 o'clock Shadow, I'm Robert Knight in New York.